awakening. And then last week I was talking about revival is inside of us. Because, you know, won't come like from somewhere. It is in us. We have to change. We have to build up our faith. We have to study the Word of God. We have to meditate. We have to fall in love for Jesus again. That's the good thing to do. So revival will bring that back to the Church of Christ. Individually. Each person. God is dealing with each person in his body. Then when you are on fire, can you see that you are on fire? Someone else close to you will be on fire too. The vision I had a few months ago here during the upper room. I don't know if you guys remember, we're here. So it's like a fire pit. Now if you see in movies, on streets, when you have someone's, especially in movies, you see homeless with fire pit there, then we have one guy put the fire and, ooh, it's cold. It's really cold. And someone else comes and, oh, can I share this? Ooh, it's warm. It's really warm. It's good. And so the vision I had, it was like a fire pit. When the fire is there, so one person will approach the fire and will be hot, will be on fire, not cold anymore. And another one will come. Another one will come. And I believe that fire is the Holy Spirit. And he's moving in this place. And I'm getting closer to him. Oh, but he's inside of, yes, you understand. I'm getting closer in my relationship with him. So I'm getting closer. I want to be really hot. Then when you talk to me, you won't see me complaining. You won't see me down. You won't see me like doing things that maybe I used to do before. You'll see me on fire. When you tell me, say, Pastor, there's no way. You hear from me, so yes, there's one way called Jesus Christ. Oh, Pastor, it's too hard. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. See? When the church starts acting and it's speaking like that, because we have the power of the Word. And we have the power of to speak life and death. So I have to change first. I have I need a revival inside of me. Then I will start speaking life. That's why. And then, because you start seeing the fruits, the result of that, then people will be affected for that. In the world, if you go there and cry with them, nothing's going to happen. But if you go there, and when they are crying, you are bringing a word of hope for them, or you are laughing and saying, no, this is so easy for my God. This is easy. Then something's going to be different. So we have that power. And I was thinking about revival. Okay, I change myself. I start speaking to myself what I am in Christ Jesus, what I have, what I can do, what he can do through me. And then I start affecting other people, other lives. And then we have to go and do something. Actually, we are doing something every day. This is a good point because people get scared about, oh, revival, what should I do? Yes, we should do something. And we are doing something. Maybe you don't realize, you didn't realize, but we are doing as Christian. When you say, I am Christian, and you are not acting like a Christian, you are sending out a message. If you are acting like a Christian and speaking like Jesus and rejoicing in the presence of the Holy Spirit, you are not saying anything, but you are sending out a message. It's very important. So this is what I believe it's happening in me for a few years. But now the Lord is asking me for something else. Okay, don't think it's just for me. That's why I'm talking about revival. It's for the Church of Christ. He's moving. Last Sunday, I had a chance to say something really briefly, but when we were here together, the sense of unity, I think I shared something. The sense of unity came inside of me. Wow, I was looking at everyone here, and the Holy Spirit starts saying that they are different. They are different. They speak differently. They are different personality, different. But we were together. It was like, I felt like one. It's kind of, I cannot explain. But I felt like the anointing in their lives was like in me. I was like, wow, it was so strong. And the Lord was showing me the way He's going to work in the end of times, in this season, this revival for the last great move of the Spirit. Unity is so important. Unity is so important. We got a vision God gave to us through Katrina. Oh, Katie. Who is Katrina? Katie. Yes, we are the light. We have the light of God in us. That's better. And wherever we go, if this place is dark and we turn off the light, the darkness disappears. Well, wherever you go, if there is darkness, but the Lord is asking you to go there, light is arriving in that place. You know, it's so important. It's so important to see ourselves with like someone that is really important for the Lord, is really important for the body of Christ. We are really important. And what we say is important. That's why today I want to share, I'm using my Bible again. I'm tired of technology. It's good. But you know, I really want, I like the Bible. I'm you know, I can highlight, I can do things. Yes, I have mine. I study with Bibles. And I'm trying. Okay? Using my Bible again. I was reading, you can open in 1 Corinthians. Let's go straight to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse from 26. Hallelujah. Hey, Eleanor, do you know if they are hearing inside of the kitchen? I remember we did that last time, but I don't know now. Do you think, Cameron? Should be? I don't know. Can somebody say, oh, Jonathan, I think, no, just to know. I want them hearing the messages, so. Hallelujah. So I need this. So brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise, but by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world and then, to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. 29, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So this is, I'll stop here. I like when it says, think of what you were when you were called. So, I was reading this. So, there's two different kind of, I will separate for two different kinds of people. The people that Paul was sharing here, you probably wasn't too wise, too smart, too intelligent, or, you know, influential. He's saying, maybe we're not. I can tell about Paul. He has a great education. He was learning with the Jewish people, and then he was in a good position. He was Hebrews of Hebrews. He was Roman. He was, you know, he was a religious guy, a lot of knowledge, and the law of God. It was good. But sometimes we are not. Sometimes we are. We think we are. But one thing I want to say, when you come to Jesus Christ, that changes. Now he's saying, doesn't matter the way you were before. When you come to Jesus Christ, even if you were weak or not really, like he said, an influential, not too much education or something like that. When you come to Jesus Christ and we start learning from him and his thing, what he wants to teach you about his word, about yourself. So you don't have to act like before, because so many people are so down and, no, you know, I'm not worthy. I'm not this. I made a mistake. But now we are in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus is doing things like that, because when you think like, I couldn't, now I can. I wasn't, now I am. For the world, maybe you can say, oh, you were like that. I'm a wise man. I have all the knowledge. For the knowledge they have is like Paul. So no, it's foolish. It's garbage now. If people don't know God, if they don't know Jesus Christ, what they know, it's what they think is right. That's why it's foolishness. When somebody comes to me and say, no, what I think is this. I think nature is God. I think this is God. I think, no, this is what you think. But now I'm in Christ, and I know I have knowledge because of the Holy Spirit teaching me. And that's strange for that person, because no, you're not. But when you read the scripture, we see God, Jesus Christ, calling fishermen, not very well educated, no wise man, not too much influence in that society. But it's because when God do things like that, he's showing us that it's him in us. This is a good point. It's him in us. So the one thing for when you talk about revival, changing ourselves, I believe, and God put in my heart is this. So now you have to see yourself, not the way you were before, not the way that, or the kind of job you have, the kind of education you had before, not because of this or because of that, because of your noble birth, you are rich, you are poor, you are this, you are that. So you don't see it anymore. God is telling you this morning, revival will start growing inside of your life, will be inside of you when you understand now you belong to God. The world maybe don't believe in you. Maybe they think you are not smart enough. But we need to understand. Now I have God in my heart. I have the wisdom of God. I have the mind of Christ. Doesn't matter if I'm a fisherman. Doesn't matter if I'm a tax collector, if I'm a doctor, or if I'm the religious or leader of the synagogue. Or doesn't matter what I am right now and concerning my past. In Christ Jesus, I am child of God. And people don't understand, but we have to understand. We do have to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. So when you have a chance, and God give you a chance to speak with someone, and you believe God is sending you to say something, believe he's going to put words in your mouth. He's going to put words in your mouth. Let's keep reading. I love this scripture. Chapter 2. Paul was saying, verse 1, when I came to you, brother, I did not came with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. I love this scripture. It helped me a lot in my ministry, because I was thinking, when God called me, I said, no, I cannot do it. Someone asked me this week, hey, how was Do you like to be in front of people and like preaching? And she said, in a doing the for university, like speech or delivering the yeah. I said, no, I used to study a lot. I used to put things together to give someone to speak in front of the class. I didn't like that. When the pastor called me to preach first time, I said, no, you know that many times. No, until the Holy Spirit really touched my heart and said, okay, I won't say anymore. I didn't say, pastor, I'm going to preach. I said, I won't say no. But I didn't say anything to the pastor because I was expecting for him to take like years and years. When I got the invitation and I said, yes, I'll say yes, I'll preach. And I have my best friend and his wife. He said, I will stop doing what I'm doing or what I have to do that day. I won't do anything other than go to church to see you preaching. Because I'm a Christian, I don't have to see to believe. But in this case, I have to see to believe. Because I have to see you. I have to be there. Remember? I have to be there. So this is, but when I came to Jesus and I understood that this is the important thing. This is what I have, the Word of God. I was studying. And I said, I'm not coming with my own wisdom or eloquence. Because I was wondering about the eloquence. Oh, if I forget something. If people don't like. If I say something wrong. I am not eloquent. And I remember Moses helped me a lot. Moses was... He was very well prepared. He grew up in Egypt. He was educated. But he said, no, I cannot speak. I cannot speak. I'm hard mouth. I cannot say anything. And the Lord said, yes. You can. Let me open it. I have. Oh, no. Exodus 4, verse 10. Leo is faster than me. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. And if you jump to verse 12, Lord says, now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. I will help you to speak in what to say. If you go to Acts 4, or if you wait for Leo to show you on the screen, Acts 4, verse 1 says, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Now jump to 13. They preached. They were greatly disturbed. They were trying to put them in jail. They weren't happy with the message. And verse 13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now we need to understand, it's not your wisdom, it's not your knowledge, what we had before. Of course, it's kids, go to school and study. Whatever you were doing in your life, you want to be in your future, go to be prepared for that. But what I'm saying is the result of the revival. Because have you ever stopped to think about, okay, revival, we pray for revival. I pray, I believe the revival is in me. For what? For the pastor to preach and more people get saved? Amen. healed, signs, wonders, and miracles, amen. But when you have that revival inside of you, you won't be quiet anymore. The Lord will have you to send you, like He did with Isaiah, like He did with Jeremiah, like He said, no, I'll send you. Moses is you. Okay, for now, I'll give you somebody else to help you. For now. But you know his story. How powerful was his message. And then these guys, fishermen, simple, ordinary people. We are ordinary people with a supernatural power inside of us. That makes whole difference. If you could take the Holy Spirit inside of you and put aside for a while, you'd be ordinary people like everyone else. But now you put the Holy Spirit inside of you again and say, okay, I'm ordinary people with an extraordinary power inside of me. So that makes whole difference. And then that's why revival. Because we need to be on fire. Because we need to open our mouth. And he respects. Moses said, no, I need someone else. Okay, bring Aaron. He was going to help you for now. Then these guys, they couldn't speak one word. Because maybe he was thinking about, I'm an ordinary man. I'm unschooled. But when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, when he received something, the Holy Spirit, they became extraordinary people. Now they are ordinary because we are all, they are extraordinary people because they have the power of God inside of them. And they started speaking. God gave this utterance to speak the word. And they people were amazed. So we have the power of the words. We have the power and the life and death in our words, in our tongue. What you speak now, and more God will give to you, more effective you will be. That's why revival is important. Those guys, they got amazed. I'll translate for you. For sure, they walked with Jesus Christ. When I speak, church, I want you to be sure that I'm walking with Jesus Christ. When you speak, so make sure the person is hearing you. They are absolutely convinced that you are walking with someone they don't know. Delson? A fisherman? Ali? I'm a lawyer. Who are you to speak? No, I'm the Son of God. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, and He's sending you this message. I was in a hearing that last week, and then you see the lawyer or the advisor, they have to speak with someone. They need to have, even in that situation, if I was that guy in that position, I was praying before, Lord, give me boldness to speak the word. It's not only, maybe say, no, I'm not preaching the gospel. It's not my calling. No, every time you open your mouth, power has to come out of your mouth. That's why you have to be careful what we speak. And then when we speak life, when you speak under the power of the Holy Spirit, when you know what you are saying, when you are speaking life, people say, this guy is walking with someone different. Amen. He's walking with Jesus Christ. If he knows Jesus Christ, this is what I want. And this is what the revival is bringing to me, and it's going to bring, and it's bringing to you too. When you speak with your wife, with your husband, with your teacher, with the judge, with the lawyers, with doctors, so don't feel like, I'm a stupid person because he's a doctor. No, you are Son of God. You are Son of God. You speak like the same level, and even more. You say, no, I understand you have knowledge. I understand. You know, but you don't have to be on fear. Ooh, he's a doctor. What should I say? Lord, give me the words. Oh, you have cancer, you're going to die. Thank you, doctor. Thank you. What we should do from here? Oh, you should go, we're going to die. So thank you so much. I don't receive. I have the word inside of me. I'm going to live because I'm healed. Am I going to live? And then the power will come out of your mouth and you say, ooh. This guy is different. He's confident. He's probably walking with someone else. And maybe you can preach the gospel. Or sometimes you say, okay, what's the next step? Oh, you need this treatment. You need to take this medicine. You need to take this. You go, be wise. Be wise. Thank you, doctor. I respect. I'm going to do it because you have the knowledge. I'm going to do this until I receive from manifestation in my body from the Lord. You know, what I'm saying is this. You are worthy. Amen. You are worth. See yourself as children of God, a child of God. See yourself with the Lord, in the Holy Spirit inside of you. And when you speak, you have something important to say. People will hear you because you have anointing. You have power. You have grace to speak with people. Amen? Let me see another one. Hallelujah. This is Matthew 10. I believe God is preparing us for what He's already doing in His church. He's moving us for a different season, for a different position. And we will need to use authority. That's why this word, it's time for the Christians to speak the word with authority. I know what I'm saying. I remember maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago when Patricia had a gold, yeah, something in there. Yeah, and she was under pain, so much pain, so much pain, so much pain. And said, let's go to the doctor. But at that time, for some reason, I think we moved. I don't know what happened. We stopped paying the insurance, health insurance. We changed. Yes, we changed. In Brazil, we pay the private health insurance. Praise the Lord when you have... you can't pay for that. And I changed. And they give you like 3 months, 4 months, 6 months for to have a surgery or to have something like that. And at that time, the devil was attacking us and attacking her health. Is he was attacking ourselves financially, because if I had to pay for the surgery, it was thousands and thousands of real or dollars. But we sat there and the doctor said, you know, you have this big, big ball inside of your gold bladder. And he said, it's a big one. It's terrible because it's blocking the passage of the liquid and everything. So there's no way surgery. I have no insurance. And I said, when you think it's going to happen? My hair was like, when? Because if like in 6 months I can save some money, and it's natural thought. And I was speaking what came to my heart, my mind. When? And he said, oh no, she's going to stay here tonight and the surgery is going to be tomorrow morning. She won't support that pain anymore. She needs to stay here because it's blocking the liquid to flow. And I said, tonight? I said, no, I can't. No, she won't stay here. And I believe in the beginning, we were like thinking with our mind, no. Oh, money, insurance, no, pain. No. But I said, no, we are going home and we think about it. And we're going to pray about it. Then when I've heard the doctor saying, that's why words are so important. He look at me, or who was behind him, and he said, I know what I'm saying. She has to stay. She has to do surgery. I know what I'm saying. And that time, when he said that, wasn't my thought anymore, but something came from my heart. And I said, no, you don't know what you are saying. What I'm saying is true. She's going home. And she's not going to stay here. She's going to suffer. She cannot. No. She's going home. I look at her. So do you believe you are healed? I remember that. Do you believe you were healed? Yes, I believe so. Let's go home. I know the word. I know the word. Not the doctor knows what is. No, he said, you have to do now. But wasn't the doctor at that time? Was the devil stealing things from my life, from our family? And I said, no, the Lord put words. He put words in my mouth. It wasn't me, it was the Lord. But because I knew the word, of course, no, you have to put the good deposit inside of you. So when he said it, the Lord, and I said, no, you don't know. We are going home. And she said, yes, I believe. We left. Remember, we stopped in front of the hospital. If she remembers, I know she remembers, she was like, oh, so much pain, so much pain. And we prayed. Eliezer, you are healed in Jesus' name. After that, believe, I stopped and I got some medicine for her for pain. And then we went home and she could sleep. Next day I had to go to work and I'll call her in the morning. I said, how are you? Oh yeah, I felt a little bit of pain, but it's almost gone. It's almost gone. And then she never did the surgery. She never had pain anymore. She never. But the great thing is that a few years later, for other reasons, he said, oh, let's take this. I'm going to do this surgery. She was doing at that time. And the guy said, you know, I'm taking advantage of this. And then take this big ball you have inside of you. I said, what? It was there. Was blocking thing. Was she supposed to, after you die because of that? Was there. Was the sign that it was there and she never ever had pain anymore. That was a miracle. That was a miracle. Was there. And I said, Lord, you were funny. It's there. But she never had any pain. So God is good. God is good. So I asked you to open Matthew 10. Believe. 10:18. So on my account, you will be brought before governors and kings and doctors and lawyers and spouses and teachers and no, and then and religious. 19 says, but when they arrest you, and I hope you won't be arrested, but when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. I will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So this is what happened. I was facing that doctor. I wasn't facing any like governors or kings or. But I remember. Like it was yesterday. So I remember I was in front of someone with more knowledge. I should respect. I should say, yes, whatever you say is the truth. No, but the Holy Spirit starts speaking through me. No, you don't know what you say. I know what I say. She's going home. We are going home. Because the Lord put those words in my mouth. I'm not saying, okay, understand this. I'm not saying, okay, give up your treatment. Give up. Don't believe in doctors. Don't believe. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that time, God gave the word to me to say. I could be there and say, okay, and cry and trying to sell my car, asking for money or blaming God and everything because of that. So, no, I said, he gave the word and we believed, we prayed, we laid hands, no pain, and she was good. He gave the word. He gave the word. So, when you are standing in front of leaders, in front of kings, in front of your husband, in front of your wife, in front of your kids, in front of anybody. Bring back this message to your heart. So, no, Lord, give me the word. Because in your mind, you will start crying and think, how is the best way to kill this person, or to punch this person, or to hate this person? But if you stop and say, Lord, I want the words from you. You will know what to say. Because the Lord will put words in your mouth. I got a testimony last week and it was good. I was good. Can you say your name, Marcelo? You don't know who was talking to me, but he said, Marcelo called me and said, no, I had a job interview and I just spoke from my heart. I felt like I was, no, remember that? You were ministering to me. He proved he never will leave you and forsaken you. he was ministering to me because he said, you know, I went there and I spoke from my heart. I was hiring in anything. I was saying, you know, this is why I need, this is what I want, this is what I want. And he said, see, I believe God put words in your mouth. Because he said, before he leave that place, someone came and said, do you have like few minutes? Yes, because we want you to work for us. So it God is good. Doesn't happen like that. And he gave him words to speak. Can you open your... this is wonderful too. Are you receiving? I'm taking too long. Yes, I am. Okay, so I'm reading a few more scriptures and I... Just to keep encouraging you that when you open your mouth, something is going to happen. Something is going to happen. You know, I did in the sixth chapter of Acts and talking about Stephen. And it's, you know, the man full of God's grace and power. God God did many, many miracles through his life. So Acts 6 verse 10 says, because he was preaching, he opened his mouth, he was not hiding anything, he wasn't scary about anybody, he opened his mouth and he was preaching the gospel. Somebody gave him chance to say that, to speak the word. So God will provide opportunities for us as well. And then the guys, they were so angry. But the verse 10, Acts 6 verse 10 says, but they could not stand against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. Can you imagine? Can you imagine when he say something, people say, yeah, nothing I can say, nothing I can do. Yeah, you were right. And you will see later, you know, when you speak something, when you say something, no, signs, wonders, and miracles will follow that too. But when we speak under the power of the Holy Spirit, when you open your mouth to speak life, something has to happen because we have the Word of God inside of us. The same way with Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Titus chapter 1, verse 9 says, he must hold firmly, he's teaching his title, he's teaching leaders, but don't think about leaders only. It says for everyone, for the children of God. So he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Verse 10 says, for there are many religious people, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced because they are ruining whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach. And that for the sake of dishonest gain. So mere talkers. I don't want to be a religious person speaking mere talk, speaking things without any value. I don't want to be religious speaking things or trying to manipulate people. So the word God put inside of you is not only to speak with, like I said, with kings, with teachers, with governors, with it's also to speak with your brother and sister. It's also to speak with religious people. The word you have inside of you is sometimes not to correct someone, but which is good too. It's to correct someone, but sometimes it's just to encourage someone. So if you speak the word and the Holy Spirit is there, the Holy Spirit is moving you to speak His word, people will receive. People will be encouraged. Your brother and your sister. Sometimes when you approach someone, that person is expecting for someone to say something that will give encouragement, will give bring peace, will bring some wisdom. And you say, but me? Yes. From today, we'll never think differently. Yes, from you. Because when you open your heart, say, Lord, speak through me. See, it's serious, people. When you approach someone, when you approach a church, yeah, sometimes say, woohoo. And we have this habit. Hey, how are you, Ali? I'm okay, I'm good. How are you, Das? I'm okay, I'm good. Oh, no, I don't know what to do. And at home, you are crying. Maybe because you don't trust one another, or maybe because it's just a habit, or maybe because he's not expecting for me to have a word that will encourage him, will bless him. It's not, no. But if I understand it and said, oh, no, Ali, how are you? Good morning. How are you, Pastor? Yeah, I'm good. I'm not sharing problems with everybody, okay? Don't do that. Don't go and say, no, 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 no. But we need to trust. When the Lord asks you to say something, or if the Lord shows somebody to you, it's the right person. There's no problem. We have to trust. Trust. First in the Lord, and the Lord is bringing in the right person. And you have to trust in yourself that you have words when He asks you to approach someone. And the reaction will be like that. The religious ones, when they come and try to teach wrong teaching for us and for our congregation, or no, you have to silence them. How you silence them? Holding her mouth, or punching them, or yelling on them? No, you silence them with the word of God and say, no, you are saying God is putting sickness and disease in people to teach them to be humble or to develop or building their faith. No, you were teaching that. No, now I'm going to teach what's the truth. God is a good God, the God of love. He will never do that. Amen. That's the work of the devil. But when you speak under the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing what you're saying and knowing that the Holy Spirit is speaking through you, that person has to be quiet because there's no argument. I'm not eloquent like Moses. I'm not, no. Do like power. Like, does like Paul. You don't need eloquence. You need faith to speak the word or let the Holy Spirit speak through you. You need that. You need the word. And you need the manifestation of His power. And it will make whole difference. Okay, I said I'm going to read a few more scriptures and done. See? Hallelujah. This is just to encourage you. Maybe, yeah, I think Leo has this one. In Acts 17, you know Paul was in Greece. I don't want to say Athens, because when I think and try to translate, I say Athena. Athens. I'm going to learn that word. And he was there. And then the guys were finding like teachings and trying to understand. And so, you know, I talked a little bit about last week about that. So they were ready to hear messages from different people. They were ready to hear. And they were confused. And Paul, I have Acts 17, 19 says, then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is. May we know that this new teaching is that you are preaching. May we know, may we know what this new teaching is that you are preaching? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean. God brought this to my heart, because if you jump to 32, Acts 17:32 says, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. So I couldn't miss this one, because I'm saying that this revival will bring you that conscience, that understanding that God's going to use you and the words comes out of your mouth. This is the message. And sometimes the devil will try to put you down or try to bring, like in Titus, quiet them. Because we have authority to speak the word, and then the right word through the Holy Spirit. So this way we quiet them. And this situation, they weren't Christians. And God gave Paul the opportunity to speak to them. They were curious to want to hear. So in a church, we just have to obey the Lord. If He asks you to go somewhere, if He asks you to approach someone, if He asks you to preach the gospel or to say something to your family or to your boss, or so God is leading you to do something. And then when that do means to say something, and you say, okay, Lord, help me. I do that. Help me. Speak through me. And then don't just go thinking that, oh, the result. We believe for the good result, for the great result. But sometimes, and say, oh, I don't believe in sometimes. I believe in sometimes people don't receive. They are not ready to receive, or maybe it's not the end of the conversation. It's just a seed you are sowing. And somebody else will keep that conversation watering. Because Paul, it's not me only. Pastor, because there's no power in your words. No, it was Paul. He finished preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, about His death and His resurrection. And then some of them didn't believe. Yeah, was mocked him, was laughing, was, you know, foolish. They didn't believe in Paul. But some did. Some did. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged if someone comes to you and say, no, I don't receive. I don't want to give my life to Jesus. I'm sorry, today I don't. No, maybe you can die and go alone tomorrow. Maybe it's going to be too late. So it's today. So I don't want. Don't get discouraged. Oh, I don't believe Jesus Christ died and raised from the dead. I'm sorry. Don't think you have no power in your words. Paul was preaching under the power of the Holy Spirit, and some of them didn't believe. Though, like Bryce was saying today, why? So don't stop saying why. So I did what the Holy Spirit asked me to do. I did. So if he doesn't believe or she doesn't believe, or no, I'll keep praying. I'll keep interceding. I'll keep declaring the word. I'll pray, Lord, for workers to come and then water the seed I just planted. And I keep moving forward. Because sometimes the enemy is bringing the church in that position that, oh no, I laid my hands on him and he didn't walk. I'll never do that again. I'm embarrassed. No. I preached the word and somebody came to me and said, I didn't like the word you preached. So pastor, don't put me on the schedule anymore, because you know, that happens. That happens with people I have one person who's really close to me, and he said, no, I'm not teaching, I'm not preaching, because someone came and said, you know, that's the way you preach it, I really don't agree with that. I said, is that why you're not preaching anymore? Oh, yes, no, I don't like when people come and complain. So this is real, church. This is real. You know, if you don't like the way I preach, I understand. We have Bryce preaching, we have Michael preaching, we have Dita. She's coming back. I'm supposed to show her video like last week, this week. Maybe she will be here to talk to you. She's coming next week. And no, we have people come visit. More people is getting ready, prepared to preach. So different flavors, different styles. But we all have to speak the same word. 1 Corinthians talking about everybody. Everyone is speaking the same word. This is good. So you like me preaching. And somebody else doesn't like. But I'll keep preaching. Amen? Sorry. You tried. And I'll finish now. I'm learning with Kenneth Hagin, with Kenneth Copeland, with the Kenneths. So I always try to finish many times. It's beautiful. I just want to read this. This is just a final encouragement for you. Jeremiah. I couldn't miss Jeremiah in this subject. Jeremiah chapter 1. God called him to be a prophet to the nations. Okay, Jeremiah, not me. Don't think like that, okay? You too. He called you. He called you. He called all of us to preach the gospel. He called all of us to speak the word under the power of the Holy Spirit, to manifest the glory of God through our words as well. And a good word, because it's funny, I'm saying it's a good word. I think it's a good word. For me, it's a good word. Because sometimes we are waiting for the great revival, thinking that, you know, when I lay my hands and people fall, when I lay my hands and the crippled man walks, so that's the revival. No, revival. We start when you start speaking the word. That's miracles happen. I'm reading many scriptures. Miracles happen. People get amazed because there's so much power in our words. And then he says, chapter 1, verse 6, "Oh, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." I have one word for verse 6. Excuses. Excuses, like I did many times. Excuses. I'm a dentist. I'm not a pastor, so I won't preach. Oh, I'm too young. You know, Timothy, Paul said, so don't let them put you down because of your young age. Oh, no, I'm tired. I'm working too much. I'm this, I'm that. God knows, church. God knows. But he also knows that if he doesn't push you a little bit, you won't do anything, because you want to stay in your comfort zone. I want to stay in my comfort zone. This is part of my flesh, my mind. It's easier. But he has to push us a little bit. That's why we keep like fighting with God. So no, I'm a child. I'm too young. I'm a teenager. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. I don't know. I'm not worthy. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not smart enough. I'm not wise. I'm not. So and start running away from God with so many excuses. And the only thing he wants, it's for you to say to someone, hey, Jesus loves you. And this is the word he's speaking through you. One word. He's not asking everyone to come here. We don't have schedule for everyone to preach every week, every week. No, you don't have the calling. This is a different calling. So maybe it's different. He's not calling everybody to be in the worship team. But I pray when they speak, when they sing, the power of God has to come through them when they minister to us. So no excuses, church. You can talk to the Lord. Lord, I don't feel prepared. What you want me to do? Go to the Prime Minister of Canada and preach the gospel to him. If you hear that and you know it's the Lord saying that, it's going to be like Peter and John in front of the leaders. In front of, whoa, these guys, are walking with Jesus. But if you don't hear that, God will respect you. And if you say, I don't want to go there now. But Lord, if you want me to go there, I will. But if the Lord says, just go and say something to someone. If the Lord says, wait, don't answer your wife. Don't answer right now your husband. Wait, I'm going to speak through you. That's going to make a whole difference in your life. Jeremiah tried. He tried. Verse 7 said, but the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to, and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. Only that. So don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of anybody. Church, you have the life of God inside of you. Don't be afraid of anybody. Maybe you shake a little bit. My first time I was shaking. My first message, instead of 45 minutes or 50 minutes, was just 15. And I didn't know what to do after that. That happens. I've heard many testimonies like that. But it was like that. But don't be afraid. He will give you the words to speak for the next job, or to leave your job, or to be part of the ministry, or to, you know, whatever God is putting in your heart. Just remember that this is the part of the revival. There's power when you say something, because you have the life of God in you. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, where's Jeff? Where's Jeff? Where's Jeff? Jeff, come. Come. Come, please. Let's work.